Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
This is what I love about doing this show with a current WNBA player, a true baller, someone who understands hoops, is she's not afraid of getting after it here. She's not afraid of any of the smoke.
But you didn't come for her, really.
Not this time. Now, Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., and not Chinne Agumake, former Stanford alum who was giving us plenty of smoke in that instance. We are joined by Shea Cornett here with us.
That's such a step down. I can't even stress.
Not at all. I want to say, like, the inequity is on this side of the room. We are pumped to have you here, Shea. Kind enough to give us some time. You guys can hear Shea on SiriusXM NFL Radio as well as on ESPN Radio Sunday afternoons with her husband, Jordan Cornett, who's a great college basketball analyst for us here. Shea, you bring the credentials in all of this. I'm just over here sweating profusely, asking you questions in the break about Britney Spears.
Just so we're clear, and 9 months pregnant, I am always sweating profusely as well, so don't feel bad.
We've had a lot
of... Is it hot in here? Maybe it's just hot in here.
It is incredibly hot
inside this room.
So you are not alone this spot. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, but Jhené is not here. She's out conquering the world as usual today. She's got a WNBA season she's getting ready for. All these things in the works, but I appreciate the way that she talks smack, because as we're getting ready to talk about college basketball and what's wrong with the NCAA tournament, because I want to play this sound from Jay Williams, co-host Keyshawn, Jay Will and Zubin, who does a great job covering college basketball, and he's looking at the situation and finding something that we might need to worry about at that level. But before I get to that, I cannot in good conscience just leave this beef on the table, because, Shea, we were talking during the break about Draymond Green right now. Like, we came for Chinee's three-point percentage when she was in college, and she just dismantled us after that. Went stat for stat, word for word, bar for bar, about all these ways that we were wrong about what she did here. And so she had the things to back up this claim. Draymond Green earlier was talking to NBC Sports Bay Area and said, quote, "I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA. I stand by that. I put myself up against anyone." That's an incredible claim to make by someone who is still an active player, and I love it.
If you don't believe in yourself, who's going to believe in you? You got to promote yourself. So this is Draymond saying what he believes and what he thinks he is, and I'm okay with this. The NBA is the most dramatic, braggadocious place in sports, in my opinion. And I love it. That's why we love the NBA. Obviously, not every other defender in the NBA or who has ever defended anyone agrees with this. But I'm okay with Draymond stating his piece.
Anyone in that instance that you just met is actually Tony Allen, 2008 NBA champ, six-time NBA All-Defensive Team member, and someone who was famously mentioned by Kobe Bryant as the toughest defender that he ever faced. And so Tony Allen saw this quote, tweeted it, and said, "Big Cap, who stamped you? Who did you clamp? In the words of Jay-Z, we don't believe you. You need more people." Coming out here and basically saying, no, it's not like that. Draymond Green, I will give it to him. This is pretty good. He said, "I was waiting on you to stamp me, big homie, but your stamp book started running low in 2015 when we used you against your team on the way to my first championship."
Draymond does not hold back, man. He does not care.
That's the thing. Draymond's
that is a clapback. That is what we call a clapback. Yeah.
He's getting ready for his next career in TV. Like, he's good at this.
He does not care who comes at him, who disagrees with him. He will come right back at you and not hold back. And I appreciate it. Again, most dramatic place in sports, NBA, Draymond's towards the top of the list.
Wait, see, now I don't understand this now, because Cliff, our producer, is getting in my ear and just said to me, and this is, like, Shea, I have had this weird phenomenon happen where I've been made to feel really old lately by everything that's going on with Gen Z. TikTok scares me, all this stuff. Like, I've been phased out, clearly. But Cliff just gets in my ear and says, "This phrase clapback is so 2019. Bro, 2020 didn't exist.
Now, why didn't you get in my ear? I'm the one that said that.
Yeah, I'm going to say, man. Afraid to talk?
I didn't want to startle you, Shea. You were on a roll. You were making your point. Yeah, right. You had the whole clapback thing.
It sounds like we're
afraid. We're friends now. No, we're friends now, too.
We are. So what is the phrase?
Let me get back to you on that, all right? I'll get it to you before 6:55 tonight.
Okay. How the turntables, Cliff.
And then why did we play the clapping sound? I thought that was for the clapback.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, those were snaps. We give out snaps on this show. We're basically like one big poetry hour. It's fine. It's good. It's all understandable.
I'm going to go read my Gen Z dictionary. I'll be right back.
I was going to say, we'll be reading the Tony Allen, Draymond Green Twitter exchange and how to properly part my hair and what jeans to wear on TikTok. Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So we were also talking about the NCAA tournament a lot today, because there's been no beef there, because we wouldn't know any of the players involved in all of that. ESPN Stats and Info said that the average seed remaining in the tournament now is 5.9. So we're almost averaging a 6 seed across the board, which is the lowest seeding since almost 1986. And Jay Williams, great college basketball analyst for us, former star point guard at Duke and co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin from 6 to 10 Eastern, said the NCAA's got a problem with this.
I think this is a major problem for college basketball. And you're going to start to see a lot more of this with all the different avenues, yeah. G League, high school professional leagues, overseas. Mm-hmm. The talent that is being placed in different places makes it hard for the product. Think about 2017-18 season, right? That was the year of Trae Young.
Yeah.
We followed everything Trae Young did. If Trae Young sneezed, we were all over the sneeze, and we watched the rise and we watched the fall.
Yeah.
You then follow that up after that. Think about it. RJ Barrett, Zion Williamson.
Oh man.
If you were to watch Duke this year, if you're tuning into Duke this year, you're like, you're watching Duke the brand. You don't really know who plays there. You might know Jalen Johnson a little bit before he decided to opt out, but you're like, Duke the brand. Back then, you were watching Zion Williamson. Yep. Then it was Duke. Blockbuster talent that made you want to watch every single game. Even after that, we got into the tournament. Think about this. Murray State, Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You wanted to watch blockbuster talent.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the tournament now. I watched all these games yesterday. Good teams, interesting stories, but I'm not hooked to it the way I was with big-time names.
See, hearing that's interesting to me because, Shay, I always think there's two camps of people that watch college basketball. The people that are in it because of the names, the schools, the front of the jersey, the coaches. And you brought up earlier that you watch to see the prospects. You watch to see the one and done. So do you think that all these other avenues to the NBA, the G League, things that Jay Will mentioned there, are going to be things that weaken the college basketball product beyond just this year?
Of course. I mean, anytime you spread things thinner, it's going to change the product, no doubt about it. And the way this NCAA tournament is going with so many upsets and the lack of blue bloods, I don't think is good for the NCAA product or for March Madness, especially if you are a casual college basketball fan and you might not have a dog in a fight. You didn't go to a place like Kansas or UNC or whatever it may be. But I will say this, like if you look at the projected NBA draft, you have Cade Cunningham possibly going one. You have Evan Mobley possibly. Evan Mobley's still playing. And Cade Cunningham just got bounced from Oklahoma State. So you are seeing the stars that are going to go to the NBA play in this year's tournament. Now, obviously, Cade is no longer playing. But my point being, while Zion Williamson was the reason a lot of us tuned in to watch Duke, Zion Williamson didn't win the national championship. Zion Williamson was still part of the NCAA tournament. And so, yes, I hear what Jay Will is saying, and I do agree with him in part, but I don't think that is what's watering down this year's NCAA tournament. I just think there's so much parity and there's so many double-digit seeds this year, or higher, you say higher seeds, correct?
Yep.
So many higher seeds that is what's making it head-scratching. And also, I will say, when your bracket is busted early, it's hard to continue a rooting interest. And I think so many of us have lost our national champion or our Final Four teams that some people might feel like, well, should I really continue to watch? And that's just my opinion.
No, but I think that is part of the opinion and part of the appeal of this tournament. March Madness is the multi-billion dollar industry that it is because of the casual fan. You're not getting these kind of numbers just off college basketball diehards. Mm-hmm. That's not how any sport works. It's about broad appeal. And that bracket is a part of it because people are going, especially people that are going to pick based on, all right, the things they think they know and have an opinion on, the schools that they know. If you can't count on those anymore, your bracket's busted earlier. Maybe you're less inclined to follow through with it. Maybe you're not like us, who are still going to watch every game from here on out. Maybe you're someone that just says, all right, my personal interest in it is gone. Because the people get mad all the time, Shay, and you know this, doing this job, when you talk about the same teams constantly here, when you talk about the Patriots, when you talk about LeBron James, when you talk about Duke in college. The reason that happens is because if you're a casual fan tuning in, I'm learning about Oral Roberts right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting to know Loyola Chicago again. They might be one of the bigger brands left in all of this. Everybody knows and feels some type of way about Duke, about Carolina,
correct,
about LeBron and all those things. And that feeling is the thing that drives people to all these things, not just an affinity for jerseys.
No, I agree with you. We call it here in radio or in television, we say play the hits, like what everyone knows, loves, and feels a certain kind of way about. In terms, though, of NBA draft prospects, we've seen a lot. Look at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Look at Jalen Suggs. I mean, we're seeing a lot of that in this NCAA tournament. So I don't think the one and dones is necessarily going to deter anyone away from an NCAA tournament and from the competition level, because we are still seeing that.
I think what will be interesting, though, is if college basketball does start to become even more nameless, because the people right. that are college basketball defenders say, I'm here for the team. I want the 3 and 4 year guys. But if you don't have really any of the big time stars to write home about here, does it all of a sudden become something where the basketball gets tougher and tougher yeah. to watch? I don't know the long-term answer to that, but I think it's something that's going to be worth monitoring.
Well, I think this is what we saw kind of with Duke and Coach Krzyzewski. Like, he was one of the last of the Blue Bloods to kind of go over and convert to, like, the Coach Calipari one-and-done ways. Like, okay, this is the way I'm going to win. I'm going to have to figure out a way to make it work. And to relate it to football, I feel like this is kind of what we're now seeing with Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Like, him going out in free agency and spending all this money and being like, okay, I can't rely anymore on my arm and Tom Brady and Gronkowski and this roster that I've had forever. I have to kind of adjust with the way the NFL is going and go spend money in free agency and bring in guys and maybe actually perform well in the upcoming NFL draft. And so my overall point being is, a lot of times in sports you have to learn to adjust, even if you're used to winning a certain way. And we're seeing that in the NCAA tournament and with a lot of these programs.
We're seeing that in the NCAA tournament. We're seeing that in the NBA with
yeah.
what a lot of teams are going through with injury right now. We'll talk to PJ Carlissimo, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio for the Lakers and the Pelicans coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, we also have news continuing to pour in about Texan star quarterback Deshaun Watson. We will update you on the latest with his impending legal battles next here on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is now under investigation with the NFL's personal conduct policy. Now, again, no criminal charges so far.
Teams that have been interested in trading for Deshaun Watson, they were told no and had the door shut on them anyways.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Shea Cornett filling in for Chenea on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And in about 10 minutes, we'll talk to PJ Carlissimo. We'll look forward towards the NBA tonight and a lot of the more fun things that we've been talking about today. But unfortunately, Shea, everything surrounding Deshaun Watson continues to unfold really quickly in front of us. It seems like we cannot go more than a few hours without finding some new development in this story.
And it's never a good development, it seems like. It's becoming more and more messy as the time goes on. And I know we do have more information, Mike, that you're going to read here in a second, but I will say this. I mean, there's allegations now from 20-something different women. There are 14 different cases from multiple states across the United States. And it's just becoming clearer and clearer that normally, if you have one or two people coming forward, sometimes you can take a step back and really evaluate. But when you have this many people coming forward, it is time now for the NFL to step in and say something so that you understand what is going on from at least a woman's perspective. And I want to just say this really quick because I didn't say it earlier. Goodell and the NFL need to say something now to not only look like they're being proactive as opposed to reactive, but also just because it hasn't gone to a criminal case doesn't mean they can't take action. We've seen them do this with Roethlisberger and Elliott. They were both suspended for 6 games without any criminal case being filed at all. So, like, I know it's all under investigation still and more information is coming in. We're going to need some answers here sooner rather than later from the league.
I think that's a great point, and I heard Max Kellerman bring this up on First Take earlier today, that the standard you mentioned in a criminal case, the standard for the evidence needed to punish someone is pretty high. For a civil
right.
case, it's lower because you're not talking about jail time. You're talking about someone's reputation. You're talking about
right.
financial. And he mentioned the NFL, it's even lower because it's conduct detrimental to the league. It's what you represent relative to the league's brand and
right.
all of this. And you're right. Bringing up those instances where maybe even there aren't legal ramifications, but what you have brought, what you have been around the NFL is something that they cannot have. And so in this spot, Molly Karam brought up on First Take the commissioner's exempt list as something that she thinks should be used there to just separate all of the football conversation from
smart.
Deshaun Watson right now, because that's what the exempt list would do. He would still get paid on the commissioner's exempt list, but he would just not be out on fields. He would not be in football spaces where he doesn't need to be right now while all of this gets sorted out, because all of this is far more serious in this spot. And you mentioned we got more updates on this. Sarah Barshop, our ESPN Texans reporter, has updated this now as an article on ESPN.com, and now we are hearing from Deshaun Watson's camp. His lawyer, Rusty Hardin, said in a statement that his law firm, quote, has strong evidence showing that one of the lawsuits alleging sexual assault by the Houston Texans quarterback is false and that it, quote, calls into question the legitimacy of the other cases as well. He added that he believes, quote, any allegation that Deshaun forced a woman to commit a sexual act is completely false. Again, 14 total lawsuits filed by Houston lawyer Tony Busby against Watson, alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. In his statement today, Hardin said that Busby, so this is Rusty Hardin, the lawyer for Deshaun Watson, said, quote, Busby has, quote, orchestrated a circus-like atmosphere by using social media to publicize 14 Jane Doe lawsuits, and that the lawyer has refused Hardin's request to, quote, confidentially provide the names of the plaintiffs so we can fully investigate their claims. So, Shay, as you mentioned, this is something that appears to have now entered the stage where it's going to get very messy, where it's going to be very much. We talked about the he said, she said, she said, she said, the many cases of this. We finally now heard from Deshaun Watson's camp again.
Yes, and I said this earlier, but just to point it out again, the one thing that was different about this than I feel like we've heard in, I hate to reference that we've seen this so many times, but we really have, especially in the NFL, was that Deshaun and his camp got in front of it. And I really learned about these allegations from Deshaun Watson himself when he called them false before they even really started to come to the forefront. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but his camp seems to be getting in front of it much more than the NFL has. I mean, last week an NFL spokesperson just said the matter is under review. We're going to need a little bit more than that. And the Texans, the only thing the Texans have said at all is that they're working with the NFL to get to the bottom of things. The Texans very well maybe could have known about this if this was a masseuse or someone that had worked closely with them. Like, they need to be speaking too. We're going to need more information for people that are from individuals that are around this case, because there's too many individuals involved at this point.
And I think now we're starting to see that information coming from the legal teams in this spot. We didn't hear from Deshaun's team for a while as these cases mounted up against him. And now we have not just heard a statement, but we have heard a very flat dismissal of what's gone on in this process. There were no mincing words here by Rusty Hardin, the lawyer for Deshaun Watson here. And he brought up the one isolated case in this spot that he was talking about relative to the rest. Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst, joined us earlier today on Chanae and Golic Jr. You can listen to any of that interview on the podcast. But he pointed out that in this instance, we see and hear about all 14 cases, but each one will be very different.
It is staggering, no matter how you look at it, whether you're in the court system or otherwise. But each case will be determined separately in the courts. That's really important for everyone to realize, because I think sometimes there's a thought of like, oh, if he's billed, that might weigh on his liability or not, or if this became a criminal matter, guilt or not. That's not the case. Each case is considered separately. So from a legal perspective, each case, as it moves forward, is assigned a judge. It's likely that Deshaun Watson's lawyers will try to have each case dismissed separately, and we'll have to go from there.
So as much as both camps are really pointing at, both lawyers really pointing at the overall numbers in this spot, as Ryan Smith pointed out to us, they are going to be considered individually when it comes to the legal process that is about to play out. Mm-hmm. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And so I will pay attention, because this continues to change in front of us as now Deshaun Watson's camp, his legal team, has responded to the now 14 civil allegations, civil lawsuits filed against him.
Yeah.
Well,
every day it gets messier and more people seem to be coming forward or seem to be involved. So every day there's a new update. We're a month away from the NFL draft. Training camp is right around the corner. And it sounds like Deshaun Watson might not be able to be a part of any of it.
And we will wait and see what that situation looks like, what the league's involvement looks like, as this becomes even more pressing than it already feels at this moment. Coming up next, we'll switch gears. We'll head to the NBA and get ready for what's following us on ESPN Radio here, coverage of the Lakers and the Pelicans. Someone on the call is going to have to join us and explain how the hell the Lakers are going to win basketball games without their two best stars. We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
If he goes out and misses an extended period of time here, well, that would remove him from the MVP conversation.
If he's healthy and they're one of the top eight teams in the conference, you got a great shot at going to the NBA finals.
Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Shea Cornett hanging out with us here on Sirius XM NFL Radio, ESPN Radio on the weekends around here. Her husband Jordan Cornett, and we've been waiting all show, Shea, to get to the next segment to talk about cereal.
I know we really have.
I
cereal people here.
Big time cereal people here. It's been in the news today. Someone claimed for all the wrong reasons. I feel like this is a test of our mettle.
Okay, don't give it away right now.
I'm not going to
save
it
for the next segment.
We're going to save it. We're going to get to that, and instead we're going to
focus
on let it marinate. As we learned earlier in the show today,
marinate with a T, not a D.
Marinate with the T, a verb. Marinate with the D,
a
noun. You marinate in the marinade.
Yeah.
And that is the difference around here at Janae and Golick Jr. But coming up, if you're into more mainstream sports, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Lonzo Ball and the Pelicans are going to host Wesley Matthews and the Lakers. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Wesley Matthews and the Lakers.
That feels like where we're getting into. As we talk to PJ Carlissimo, our ESPN radio NBA analyst, who's joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline, who's going to be on the call for this tonight. PJ, we say it in jest, but no LeBron James, no Anthony Davis. This is a major test for this Lakers team. What do they need to do to respond? Who needs to most step up in this instance to try and buoy this team right now?
Well, Michael, they've got to do it collectively. There are some very talented players. Not that there's not somebody capable of putting 30 points on the board, but I think if they go that route, they're in trouble. When we talked to Frank Vogel this morning after shoot-around, he said, you know, it's a collective thing. Particularly with the Lakers, it's a defensive thing. If they're going to win, they've got to defend. I mean, this is really extremes. New Orleans is as good as there is offensively. It's amazing how good they are on one end of the floor, and they really struggle on the defensive end. Stan Van Gundy's going crazy. I mean, he's got an offensive juggernaut, but a team that has a lot of problems stopping people. So that's probably good news for Los Angeles if they play together. And, you know, that sounds simplistic, but they can't have guys trying to get 30 points. Dennis Schroeder's the one you would think is capable of stepping up. And I know you mentioned Lonzo Ball. That's a big issue because Lonzo didn't play the last one, and it's going to be a game-time decision. So they're not sure whether we're going to see him tonight also. So this is going to be grab your scorecard and try and figure out who everybody is on the floor.
So, PJ, I saw that Dennis Schroeder said they're going to have to completely change the way that they're approaching basketball and they're playing basketball as a whole without AD and without LeBron. What do you anticipate to see from the Lakers tonight against the Pelicans? What kind of basketball are we going to see?
Well, they got to share the ball. The difference is when you're sharing the ball and the ball's moving around and you're running up and down the floor and it ends up in either Mr. James' hand or Anthony Davis, you get a lot of assists and a lot of good things happen when you're throwing the ball to other people. You're not sure exactly what you're going to get. It's a talented team. There's still very good players out there. I think the one thing that a lot of us analysts are missing the point and are saying, well, they're going to drop, you know, 10 places now in the playoffs. They can't win without those two guys. I don't like this team without Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but a couple of the teams behind them are going to have trouble stringing together a lot of wins also. You got to realize right now the Lakers are 13 over 500. So some of those teams, particularly the ones in those play-in slots between 7 and 10, you know, they're three games over, one game over 500. Those teams aren't going to start winning like crazy already and get way over 500. So I think this Laker team, because they defend so well and because there is good talent and there's some guys that are, you know, liking this opportunity to show, hey, I'm not just a complimentary player. I'm capable of doing some things. I think a lot of nights are going to be all right. There's going to be nights when they're outmatched. There's no question when they play some of the other elite teams. But as difficult as the West is, I think this Laker team, even without the two all-NBA players, are going to hang in better than most people feel.
Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Shea Cornett talking to PJ Carlissimo. former college and professional head coach, ESPN radio NBA analyst, with us on the Goodyear Hotline on the call for Lakers Pelicans tonight. And PJ, putting that head coaching cap back on, you've got LeBron James and Anthony Davis out here. We've got Kevin Durant's hamstring for the Brooklyn Nets. Joel Embiid's back. For all these star players, as a coach, what's your biggest concern about reintegrating them back into the lineup as you get closer to postseason basketball, the most meaningful time of year?
Those guys are so good, Mike. To me, it's just the conditioning. Once they're in condition, they're fine, and the other players are used to playing with them. You know, we say it every year at playoff time, particularly. You know, you just think of the last couple finals. You know, when KD and Clay went down, Kyrie. Remember, Kevin Love was out the one. So many times when you get even just to the finals itself, the injuries that are there. Health is the name of the game. So everybody goes, how soon are they coming back? How soon are they coming back? As long as they come back, and Kevin's the one that concerns me, and I don't know anything at all about it, but when he first went down, I didn't think he'd be out that late, you know, that long, and now it seems to be longer every time they talk. Those guys are so good, you have to get them back, and then you don't rush it, and the coaches know that. You give them enough time to play themselves into playing condition, get ready for the playoffs. The other guys will adjust to playing with them. That's not a problem. And them adjusting is not a problem. Them being healthy and in basketball shape, that's a concern.
We know that is the main concern for a lot of the powers in the NBA right now, but we know that adjustment for the Lakers will start tonight against the Pelicans. You guys can check that one out. Coverage coming up right after us here on ESPN Radio, and you will hear PJ Carlissimo there, our ESPN Radio NBA analyst. PJ, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the call tonight. We're looking forward to it.
All right, Mike Shea, say hello to Big Mike and say hello to Jordan for me, please. Thank you.
Will absolutely. We'll do, Coach. So we appreciate it. Coach, kind enough to join us there on the Goodyear Hotline.
New Orleans has one win in the last 2.5 seasons against the Lakers. So tonight, perhaps they could capitalize the fact that there's no LeBron and there's no AD.
Shea, I think it's no secret for anyone that listens to you and Jordan on the weekends here. The Cornette household is not afraid of a few friendly shekels on a game out here, not effective entertainment purposes going into these games. Yeah. And so, if you're looking at this one, do you feel like New Orleans gets off the schneid, so to speak? Or do you think they pull one out?
I think this is a real good opportunity for a very good Pelicans team led by Zion Williamson to get a W that they haven't had in 8 tries.
There we go.
Only one win in 8 tries.
You heard it here first. About to make it 2-9 tonight, according to Shea Cornette. But coming up next, when asked one of life's most important questions, in times of turbulence, what will you stand for when it comes to something that matters near and dear to you?
So dramatic. I thought, I'm over here thinking Draymond's dramatic.
Listen, I can be dramatic with the best of them when the subject is something as important as what's in my cereal box. We'll do that after this word from Body Armor. Hit the music. Magic Mike in the building here. Body Armor Light is here to help you achieve your fitness goals. I was out here getting it earlier today. Britney Spears, overprotected in the headphones. Me, out running, getting ripe for the summer, feeling good. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink that's going to hydrate your active lifestyle just like that, even if you don't come and sit in a radio studio after. It's got no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Mike Trout, Sabrina Ionescu, and Dustin Johnson all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated. So why don't you give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Shrimp, cereal, collision course. Gross. Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Full Britney Spears takeover on a Tuesday here on Janae and Golic Jr. Mike Golic Jr., Shea Cornette has been kind enough to not only join us, hanging out with us, Janae Agwumike off conquering the world. She'll be back tomorrow as usual, but Shea, who you can catch on SiriusXM NFL Radio, on ESPN Radio on the weekends around here with her husband Jordan Cornette, hosting and doing a great job. We have really gotten to just deep dive into our Britney Spears fandom today, and it feels good.
It does feel good. It is slightly embarrassing, especially when Dan Orlovsky was on. You're like, no, guys, not cool. Don't listen to it. But No one's going to bring us down off this high, okay?
No, listen, Dan Orlovsky is a guy who's been routinely tricked, and anyone that doesn't follow him on social media, our favorite NFL analyst and quarterback, has been routinely tricked by his wife into getting doused with water, getting egg thrown on his forehead. So don't let Dan act like he's above anything here. He is a grown child in his own right.
So right. Couldn't have said it better myself.
And we love him to death for all that. Our thanks to Dan Orlovsky for joining us earlier today in the show. Helped break down some quarterback pro days. LaFonso Ellis, kind enough to help us break down March Madness. PJ Carlissimo getting us ready for the NBA action that's going to follow us. And, of course, Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst, who helped us wade through a lot of what's going on with Deshaun Watson. If you miss any of that, check it out on the podcast, Chin Angle Jr., wherever you get your podcast. But we have been fueled by Britney Spears. She has been the wind beneath our wings today. And so let's keep that same energy towards the finish. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keeping that same energy is brought to you by Indeed. If you're hiring, start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Shay, keeping that same energy, is this stock up for you in the draft? Najee Harris, star running back for the Alabama Crimson Tide, was training in Dallas, was trying to get back to Alabama for their pro day. His flight got canceled. And so he drove the 9 hours not to participate in the pro day because he wasn't going to.
This is the asterisk right here.
But he wanted to be there to support his teammates. Does that play well for you, draft evaluating Shay?
Of course it does. Let's keep that same energy. When you clap with it, it feels like it's a little bit more passionate.
That's like the way we intended. It's a clap between every word.
It's just there for the support. He's not even there to participate. I love the effort, the enthusiasm. Najee Harris, this raises all the points. I mean, he's already a fantastic running back. It's not like he needed more, but this I love.
I can say, as if he didn't already, great hurdling running back, the softest set of hands on any running back in the draft, as far as I'm concerned. I just appreciate the fact that he is clearly not a stranger to a good road trip.
Yes.
I want a guy I know I can get in the car, drive a distance with, and we're going to have a good time. Najee feels like that.
I'm
going to
go ahead and bet, though, on his playlist on that 9-hour drive, there was no Britney Spears.
You know what? I'm going to give him more credit than that. Oh. He seems like a versatile back to me. I think he's a 3-down guy. I think he's got a hell of a playlist in that car.
We'll have to ask him one day, perhaps after the draft. Okay.
We will effort Najee Harris to get those answers. Keeping that same energy, though, Shay, I thought this was pretty cool. Out of the NBA, we saw Spurs players in honor and showing support for the NCAA Women's Tournament, as the NBA players and as college men's players often do, showing support for March Madness, breaking out some great throwback jerseys. You saw Becky Hammond, Colorado State jersey that obviously the folks know very well there in Spurs land, the old Rebecca Lobo UConn jersey that we saw Rudy Gay rocking in that spot. I thought a really cool nod to some of the all-time greats and to the Women's Tournament that started off this year under, I think, less than ideal circumstances, both physically, but also just having the lack of equality be the dominant headline going into the weekend.
This was so great for so many reasons. First of all, I love that they were throwback jerseys. And it's such a simple way to show or send a message about something. And we see this a lot in the NBA where they wear something to the stadium, whether there's words across their t-shirts or a throwback jersey or support of someone or whatever it is. And I absolutely love this from the Spurs players, especially obviously because the NCAA Women's Tournament is in San Antonio.
Absolutely. So I'd say great connection points all around there. Hell of a nod by these guys. Janae Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Shay Cornett. You can see all of that on ESPN Plus, by the way. And I want you all to see this now, too.
Oh, no.
So earlier on Twitter today, Jensen Karp tweeted out, I'm not sure who he is, he's got a blue check mark next to his name on Twitter, that Cinnamon Toast Crunch had a box that he bought, and the bag inside contained what appeared to be two shrimp tails in his Captain Crunch cereal. They went back and forth. There was some dispute over the claim in this made by Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But, Shay, I ask you, finding a shrimp tail in your Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you and I both love cereal, is that going to be a deal breaker for you?
First of all, why are you trying to say, like, it appeared to be shrimp tails? And second of all, yes, it's a deal breaker for me. There were once lizards in my friend's kale, and I have issue buying kale still to this day. I am a big, big Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan, big cereal gal myself. Going to take me a week or two to get over.
I'm not going to lie. No. I remain unbothered by this. If you're going to ask me in this spot, I've already gone this distance. I've already committed by that point to get myself a bowl of cereal. Once that train starts down on the track, Shay.
Even if there's old shrimp tails covered in cinnamon in there?
It's the tail. It's not even the meaty part in here, so I'm not dealing with any weird cross-contamination in all of this. Stand strong, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Nation. Che, thank you for hanging out with us despite my Cinnamon Toast Crunch and shrimp tail.
Anytime.
Check out the NBA on ESPN Radio coming up next here.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.